Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk, and this is Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG. And thanks for joining us online at kpcg.fm. We have a live link at thetrumpet.com as well. On a recent program, we looked at a power block that the Bible says is going to cause a lot of damage in the time period that we're living in. The Bible refers to this power block as the King of the North. The King of the North. And that power is located in Europe. The power block also has a few other names that the Bible gives it, including the beast power. And so today we're going to take a look at the final revival of this beast power. There is one more revival that the Bible prophesies will come on the scene. Now, it will cause a lot of destruction, and there's a great warning message in that. But there's a lot of hope there as well, because at the end of this beast's reign, and thankfully it'll be a short reign, Jesus Christ is going to return and put an end to the beast power, put an end to man ruling over man, which has caused sorrow and misery and warfare for 6,000 years. Now, prophecy reveals that the last horn of the church-dominated Holy Roman Empire is now forming in Europe. So there is this power, this tenth horn. And, of course, the last seven revivals are what the Bible refers to as the Holy Roman Empire, because a woman rides this beast, or a church rules and governs and directs this political power and military power. So when we look at this, we need to understand the fact that the Bible uses a woman to represent a church. It can be the true church, or it can be the false church. But in both cases, a woman is used to symbolize a church. And we can see this by looking in 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 2 to begin. And if you have a Bible, it would be great to get it out and take a look at some of these scriptures with me. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 2, here we get a picture of God's true church. And it's Paul writing here, and he says, "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." So here Paul uses a virtuous woman to symbolize God's church. In addition, Revelation 12 is an entire prophecy using a woman as a symbol of God's true church. But there is also another church that is not virtuous, and it is also symbolized by a woman. Let's turn over to Revelation 17 and see what God says about this woman, this church. Revelation 17 and verse 3, it says, "So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman," again, that picture is a church, "sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns." So this scarlet-colored beast has seven heads and it has ten horns. This is the healed beast talked about in Revelation 13. The book that you really need to look at is Who and What is a Prophetic Beast, and it lays out all the symbolism and what it means and really gets it in order, because it's a topic that can be confusing. And so Who and What is a Prophetic Beast, that's at thetrumpet.com, and it's a free booklet, and tremendous to go back and look at that, even if you've seen it before, just to refresh your mind on some of these things. So, again, it's the same beast here that's being discussed. Revelation 17 discussing the same beast of Revelation 13 there, the healed beast. And so if you go and you look at Revelation 17, verses 1 through 7, God pictures a fallen woman, an apostate church, as a great church called the Great Whore, ruling over many nations. It's pretty strong language, of course, but that's what God inspired. That's what God inspired there. And again, you need to think about who this church is, ruling over many nations. Very powerful on the world scene. Notice Revelation 17 and verse 9. It says, "And here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains. on which the woman sits. And if you remember back to Daniel, Daniel prophesied that in the time we're living in this end time, those that are wise would understand. And here in Revelation, it says, you know, here is the mind that has wisdom. So we need to have wisdom to understand this. We have to be obeying God. And of course, who does God reveal truth to? Well, it's those that are humble and have humility and are willing to look at his prophecies and believe what he says. So here the Bible plainly shows that these seven heads are seven mountains. We just read that. Here is the mind that has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. So these seven heads are seven mountains. And in the Bible, a mountain is often a symbol for government. You can see that in Isaiah 2, verses 2 through 3. So the Bible's full of a lot of symbolism. A woman represents a church. It can be God's church if it's virtuous, but also it represents an apostate church. And then here, seven mountains refer to seven governments. So we have to let the Bible interpret itself. And that's how we understand what the symbolism is. And then if you notice in Revelation 17 and verse 10, it talks about these mountains more specifically. And it says, and there are seven kings, five are fallen, one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short space. Now, if you just read that out of context, without understanding what God is talking about here, that's a pretty confusing passage. Matter of fact, the book of Revelation can be pretty confusing for most people. But when we let the Bible interpret itself, and we go back and we see what God has revealed to his apostles about this truth, then the pieces begin to fit together. But it takes diligent study with an open mind. Here are seven kings. Five are fallen, one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short space. So again, the beast of Revelation 17 that we're reading about here is identified as the healed beast of Revelation 13. The seven heads of this chapter 17 beast are the same as the last seven of the 10 horns or kingdoms of the chapter 13 church-ruled healed beast. Okay, so that could be a little bit confusing, but basically what it's showing here, this beast depicts the Holy Roman Empire. Seven resurrections of that Holy Roman Empire. And remember, that beast was healed and became the Holy Roman Empire when Justinian came on the scene. And you can find out more about that and who and what it's a prophetic beast or the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course. But when Justinian came on the scene, then the church and the state combined, and the Roman Empire became the Holy Roman Empire. And he ruled over that Roman Empire. There was a church-state combine at that time, and there are seven resurrections of that healed beast, that Holy Roman Empire. Now, what makes Revelation 17 and verse 10 so interesting is that it gives us a time frame for when these prophecies were revealed. Remember, God gives his revelation to apostles and prophets. When was this understood in our day today? Well, when these prophecies were first revealed to Herbert W. Armstrong, he was on the scene, alive, during the time of the sixth restoration, when the one is in Revelation 17:10. Remember, there are seven resurrections of the Holy Roman Empire. And when this prophecy was revealed to Mr. Armstrong, it was the time when five were fallen and one is. That's when Mr. Armstrong was alive during the Hitler-Mussolini axis, and the other is not yet come. He was alive. Mr. Armstrong was alive and on the scene and preaching and warning and prophesying during the World War II time period and after that. And he was on the scene and understanding these prophecies when that sixth resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire was on the scene. Hitler-Mussolini axis. And to understand that more specifically, you can look at Daniel Unlocks Revelation. That's a free book at thetrumpet.com as well. So there's a lot to study here. And again, we're touching the surface of these topics because we don't have the time to get as in-depth with them. And also, you just need to sit down with the books and study them. and with your Bible and really get these things into your minds. And of course, the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course gets very deeply into these as well. So that's what makes Revelation 17 and verse 10 so amazing, is that not only does it prophesy about the seven restorations of the Holy Roman Empire, but it gives a time element as to when that prophecy would be revealed, when that one is, and there was another yet to come. The sixth resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire. Mr. Armstrong was on the scene, but as Revelation 17 and verse 10 shows, one more revival of this church-state system is about to take place. There's one more. And so we're focusing specifically today on that last one. What will this final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire consist of? What will you see in it? Who will make up this power? We'll look at that more specifically right after this short break. You're listening to Live by Every Word here on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. We'll be right back.
The Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course is a distance learning program that makes the Bible clear and understandable. The Correspondence Course enables enrollees to learn what the Bible itself says about subjects that affect you and the world you live in. This fascinating Bible course highlights and proves what the Bible says about morality, war, religion, terrorism, and other current events, focusing on the root causes of this world's many problems facing man, as well as their solutions. The Bible and this course also focuses on the reason mankind was created in the first place, the way to happiness, accomplishment, and fulfillment, as well as the truth behind important doctrinal questions, such as what happens after we die, the nature of God, the resurrection, the millennium, and other critical subjects. Enroll today in the Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com.
This is Live by Every Word.
Welcome back to Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Today we're looking at the final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire. Prophecy reveals that the last or tenth horn of the church-dominated Holy Roman Empire is now forming in Europe. Keep your eyes on Europe. What's happening in Europe? Let's look at the symbolism of the beast of Revelation 17. Revelation 17 and verse 12 says this, "And the ten horns which you saw are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast." So again, the Bible here is interpreting itself. There's ten horns on this beast that's described in Revelation 17. This Holy Roman Empire, there's ten horns on it. Well, what are those ten horns? Well, it tells us, "The ten horns which you saw are ten kings. They have not received a kingdom as of yet, but they do receive power as kings for 1 hour with the beast." And thankfully, it's a short time. It's 1 hour, because there's so much destruction that this beast causes that it will be stopped or cut short. Christ talked about that in Matthew 24. In verse 13, it says, "These have one mind," all these kings have one mind, "and shall give their power and strength unto the beast." So these ten nations to come under the rule and authority of a supreme civil, political, and military leader. The ten rulers will give their combined armies, their air forces, navies, and all military power over to the control of this supreme dictator. And of course, this man is identified in Daniel 8, verses 23 through 25. A strong man is going to stand up, understanding dark sentences. He stands up, he rules, he has power, and that man will be on the scene before you know it. That's why it's important to keep an eye on the politics going on in Europe And of course, continuing to check thetrumpet.com to get insight into what's happening there in Europe and watching the Key of David program. So these are 10 kings, 10 nations. They're on the scene at the same time because they all give their power over to the beast. And they rule with that beast power for 1 hour or a short time. Notice verse 14. It says, "These shall make war with the Lamb," that's Christ, "and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful." So we want to be in that group, of course. We want to be called, chosen, and faithful. We want to be with Christ. Christ is going to put an end to this beast power. So this gives us a time frame. This final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire is destroyed by Christ at his second coming. The leader of Daniel 8 is also destroyed by Christ at his second coming. This is the time period we live in today. We are very close to the return of Jesus Christ. That's how we know when we look at these prophecies that they're not prophecies for something that happened many years ago. This final revival of the Holy Roman Empire is destroyed by Christ at his second coming. So we know this is the time frame that we're in. Christ has not returned yet, but he is getting close to returning. And you can see, again, when you look at the book of Revelation, it puts prophecy in a time sequence and in a time order. And God had it recorded so that it could be understood. It could be revealed to his apostles and prophets. And then it could be that message could be given out to all those willing to hear it. Now, these 10 kings, pictured by the 10 horns on this Revelation 17 beast, are also depicted in Daniel 2. Daniel and Revelation, they work together. Let's take a look at Daniel 2, and we'll start in verse 41. It says, "And whereas you saw the feet and toes," again, this is talking about that Daniel 2 image that you remember Nebuchadnezzar had a dream about, "And whereas you saw the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of iron, forasmuch as you saw the iron mixed with miry clay." Verse 42 says, "And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken." And verse 43, "And whereas you saw iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave to one another, even as iron is not mixed with clay." So this gives us great insight into this power block, these 10 kings, these 10 nations coming together for a short time and giving their power to the beast. King Nebuchadnezzar's dream image, as we already know, represented the four great world-ruling kingdoms, and the fourth being, of course, the Roman Empire. The image's feet had 10 toes, as you would expect. The 10 toes are 10 nations. They mingle, they unite themselves, but only for a short time. They can't stay together very long, since iron and clay do not stick together. And I don't know if you've ever tried to do that, but if you've had a piece of iron and some clay, they don't stick very well together. You could kind of put them together for a while, but they wouldn't stick very well. And again, this is discussing the way that these nations will come together to support and to empower and to be part of this final beast. You know, they come together, but it's not a very strong union. It doesn't last very long. And again, we can notice the time element of this prophecy in verse 35. And this is the great news here. It says, "Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold," this entire image, "broken to pieces together and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth." This is the good news. What does this stone picture? Well, it pictures Christ. You can read that in Acts 4, verses 10 through 11. The stone pictures Christ. He's that chief cornerstone. And here he smashes this image. It's a vision of Christ's second coming. And he strikes the image on the feet, because when he returns, that Holy Roman Empire, the final resurrection, is what's on the scene. That's why he strikes it in the feet, because that's the time period he's coming back in. That's the time period we're living in today. And that image, man's governmental systems over the years, they are destroyed and blown away by the wind like they never were. And then God's government grows, it becomes this great mountain. Remember, a mountain symbolizes government in the Bible very often. It becomes a great mountain and it fills the whole earth. There won't be multiple governments on this earth anymore. There won't be governments fighting and having meetings that usually end up with arguments that oftentimes turn into wars. You won't have any more of that, because the government of God will fill the entire earth. No more election campaigns, no more investigations into who's doing what illegally and what's happening within nations, or how one nation treats another nation, and on it goes. It gets pretty tiring, doesn't it? That's going to be done with. That's the good news of these prophecies. Even though there is bad news, because the Holy Roman Empire, the final resurrection of it, does terrible damage. Look what happened under Hitler and Mussolini. How many were killed? How many were destroyed? How many lives were changed? Very many. And this final beast will be even more destructive. But Christ will stop it. Christ will stop it. And this vision here in Daniel 2 ends in a very positive note, because God's government will fill the whole earth. That's the great news. The great news is that when this terrible Holy Roman Empire is finally destroyed, God's government will take over the rule of the earth. Jesus Christ is going to rule, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now remember, he's going to be supported by the resurrected saints. That's his first fruit bride. You can remember the first passage that we looked at today, talking about a virtuous woman there in 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 2. And God's church is going to be presented as a chaste virgin to Christ to help rule with him. King of Kings, Christ is, and Lord of Lords. And of course, there are other kings and there are other lords there. And those are God's saints over the years. Some terrible imagery here of a very dreadful and terrible beast. But the wonderful news is that Christ is going to put an end to all of that very shortly. And God's government will become a great mountain filling the whole earth. And now it's a time to prepare to be part of that wonderful government that is soon to come to this earth. That's all the time we have for today on this edition of Live By Every Word. Thanks for spending some time with me. I'm Dwight Falk. If you'd like to go back and listen to any past episodes, you can find those at thetrumpet.com and kpcg.fm. That's where all of the radio programming is, and you can listen to it anytime that you would like to. Until next time, let's all strive to live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live By Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.